Mark, since you brought that up, I just want to say that Paxton Fitzpatrick, who works at Christian Encounter Ministries, it's a ministry that takes young people from 16 to 25 and helps them be established in Christ and helps them understand skills and abilities and helps them really be launched into life. And their success rate is so powerful. It's so significant. And Mark, why don't you just give a little testimony? What did you see and what were you able to share? You do. So we hope to have Paxton come down with some of those young people and share here at our church so you'll get a little better flavor of what's happening there. But this ministry has been going on, I think they said they had their 50th anniversary, something like that. Yeah, amazing. In Grass Valley, just a little kind of north of Grass Valley, 15 miles, yeah. Beautiful facility, 86 acres, and they work hard to keep it up. It's great. What a great, it's kind of a redemption tool, you know. And I would like to say, I know, Kathleen, you prayed about this, but so the Kammerer name, they're going to have a park dedicated tomorrow. Your brother. Is the park coming up in a, oh, in July. I'm sorry, I got those two mixed up. Okay. So tomorrow is specifically to honor your brother. Beautiful. Yep. Wow. I didn't. Wow. And I don't know if you all know, but Milt was one of the first pastors of Pioneer Bible Church. So did you all know that? Yeah. Encourage it. We're honored. Yes, Milt. It's hard to understand, isn't it? All the way God works and what he does. Yep. Well, we're all grateful for you. I'll tell you, Brother Milt. We love you. Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yep. After all these years, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Milt. So next Sunday, my family will be gone. We will be in San Juan, Puerto Rico as a family. Yeah, you clap. That's right. We're gone. Yeah. And we're not just going for a vacation. We are going because you have prayed for and supported Jamin. He's finished medical school and will be graduating next Sunday. Yep. And we are very proud of him. People to say, aren't you proud of him? Sure, we're very proud of him. But, you know, I think there's a sense of relief. And I mean, to have gotten through, I have, just from a distance, watching him go through medical school, I just have such higher honor for all doctors that have completed their studies and are serving. I often think, you know, a doctor may or may not have good bedside manner. We all talk about that, right? Their good bedside manner. But I think, man, if they've been able to ingest and study and get to that point that they pass all of their exams, maybe you have to pull it out of them, but they know an awful lot. So we're delighted, and thank you for carrying on, and of course you would. But I would ask for your prayer for safety as we all fly down there. All of us, everybody in our family will be going there and coming back. We're all coming back on the same plane, and so that'll be a lot of fun. But Jamin, why don't you tell them where you're going? She asked, where are you going to be doing your next season? Yep. We are grateful. The family of Christ to me is so valuable. Our blood family is important to us, and we love them. But you all share a whole lot more, and we're together a whole lot more. And I just love the body of Christ, that we're there not only to encourage each other spiritually, but in all these family matters as we grow up together. So we're going to transition, and I would like to have you see a little video. It's in honor of our veterans and those who have paid the ultimate price. It is a video that will cause you to feel. It's mostly just pictures. It's just visual. But when it's done, I would like for two or three of you who God prompts to pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones. All right? So let's watch this, and then we'll pray, and then I'd like to share some things. If you feel prompted, would you just pray out so that we can join you and pray for these families? We are grateful, God, that we have the privilege to live here in this country. I know that there are many thousands, millions of Christians living all over the world in more difficult situations possibly than we are in. The phrase says, to whom much is given, much is expected, and I pray, Lord, that with our freedoms and our ability to have, that we would take responsibly our call to share the good news of Christ and bring hope, as Keith just prayed. Lord, we do pray for many struggling veterans who've come home and who do feel burdened and hopeless at times. We're thankful. Many brothers in this church have expressed that you've given them the strength to go on, and we rejoice in that, but there are many who feel burdened, who need hope. And so, Lord, we pray that we'd be ambassadors of hope, the hope of Christ, and the hope that comes in care and love and reaching out. Father, we ask for your help and strength. It's never enough, but I mean, our prayers just seem so simple, Lord, compared to the need. But we ask for your help, and we thank you that you're a great God who provides and can be there and is there for anyone who will call upon you. Thank you for the brothers and sisters here who have served. We ask you now to teach us from your word, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for praying. What I'd like to do today is kind of make a correlation between Christ's ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate sacrifice that we've just been talking about. And so on this next slide, it just says correlation to Christ's sacrifice and the great freedoms that we experience. And do we have great freedoms? Great freedoms in our nation and great freedoms in Christ. Memorial Day cost. It is the ultimate sacrifice of life. I think of the people in my family who served. My people in this generation came home, and I'm thankful for that. But many families, even in our small circles in Placerville and Somerset in this area, many of our friends did not come home. So there's a great cost in this Memorial Day, the ultimate sacrifice of life. And then there's the benefit. The benefit is freedom and freedoms maintained in our nation. And I think if you were to talk, and if we were to talk to you, any of the veterans that are here, how important it is that we continue to do the things to maintain our freedom and not treat it cheaply because it came at great cost. So the response, there's the benefit, freedom, and the freedom to maintain in our nation. And that's why, you know, we thank our soldiers that we see in the at the airport or on the street, and we say thank you for what you're doing, for maintaining the freedoms that we have. Our responsibility is to live to maintain this costly freedom. And, you know, I think of Joseph Hansen and Stephen Tilden, our most recent young men who have gone into the service, but there are many others represented here in our church family. And to do that, to maintain the freedoms, we choose to have a grateful heart and life. Do not become selfish and greedy. And that just happens in a nation where there's freedom. I think today is a good day to be reminded of that. That we are to live, to serve, and to maintain the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, the papers say that we are to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it's our job to continue through voting and to continue through representation to keep those freedoms fresh and available to people. So I'd like to make this correlation. Our life in Christ, not our freedom in America, but our life in Christ had a great cost. The ultimate sacrifice of life. Of course, that is who? Christ Jesus. The benefit that we have freedom from sin's consequence. We are free. We are not going to bear the consequence of our sin. We've been forgiven. We have great freedom. You know, I have often thought, I don't believe that I will ever understand the value of my forgiveness until I stand in the presence of Christ. And I realize where I would be without him. And anybody here, including myself, that takes that for granted, we need to be shaken and reminded that without the blood of Christ, you will not be in his presence. You will not be forgiven. It's only by what he's done. We have been forgiven. We have the promise of eternal life with Christ as a benefit. Then our responsibility is to live for Christ our Savior. That's what we're called up to, is that we are called to live for Christ. How much of us do we give to live for Christ? What's he calling us to give? Everything. Christ, you've died for me. You've given life to me. Now, Lord, help me live for you. That's what he's calling us to. And like we don't want to treat our national freedom cheaply, we do not want to treat our forgiveness and our life in Christ cheaply. Our responsibility is to live for Christ our Savior, to live in obedience to his word, to live a thankful life, serving Christ in his body and sharing his message for his glory. That's what we are called to do. Last week, I didn't hear Steve's message, but last week I heard that Steve preached about contentment. And I'd like to just make a segue with this scripture in Hebrews 13:1. Last week we learned about trust and contentment. Since we are in Christ, Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. So that's one of the things we're challenged to do, is to have brotherly love toward the brethren and sisters, brothers and sisters. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. I'm just going to read through this. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And that's a reference back to Abraham and others. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Remember those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And I just want to say that since we are in Christ, we have this responsibility and this obligation to do these kind of things. These are the things that we're being called up to. We're also being called up, as we talked about in our men's retreat, to honor marriage. Honor, value the relationships that you are in. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And then the writer transitions and he says, let your conduct be without covetousness. And I think, Steve, I don't know if you talked about this specifically, but let your behavior be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. By the way, the context of that is really rich. He says, first of all, be content with the things that you have. And then he says, because you know why? I'm always with you. I will always provide for you. I will always help you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And it's like that passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God. So that's the number one position. And all these things will be what? See, that's where we have to believe him. That we seek him first and that all these things will be added unto us. That's probably a verse that many people have memorized. But I find with a lot of these verses, I need to live them, not just know them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So it says, then we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Lord, I want to live in this place. So I just want to remind us, the Lord provides, the Lord keeps, the Lord strengthens. The Bible tells us we don't have any need to strive. I was telling Corey this morning, you know, do you have some financial goals in your life? I do. And I was thinking this morning, you know, God, though he cares about us, I don't think he cares much about my financial goals as he cares if I trust him and walk with him and lean on him no matter what happens. I may or may not reach any kind of financial goals. One is I just want to pay my house off so I have a place to live someday, you know? But that even pales to what God is calling me up to be a man who trusts him. He has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So I can say, the Lord is my helper. You guys, we need to get this down as people of Christ. I do. Be content in our world, in our marriages, with what we have. So I'm going to make another transition. And this next slide, I'm just going to read. The elders and the deacons want us to consider provision, talking about us as a church, our giving, our stewardship of what we have to give God is our time and our talent and our treasure. That kind of makes up who we are. We give him our gifts, our personalities. We give him our time, our talents, and our treasure. And he wants us to be good stewards with those. And I think we're all at the point of reevaluation to say, Lord, how am I giving you my time? How am I giving you my talents? And how am I giving you my treasures? You know, do I hang on? And do I give him a little? Do I recognize it's all from him? And now that he's saved me and forgiven me and given me a place in heaven, that all of this is to give him glory and honor. And that I trust him along the way. So our giving, our stewardship of time, talents, and treasures. One thing I just want you to know, that in this area of giving, there are kind of two major camps in the Bible about giving. Jay Mizer said last week when we were up at the men's retreat, he said, giving is like everything else in our Christian life. We give the Lord our time, and we have time like in a quiet time before God, and that's his time. And we have our life and our money and the gifts and the money that we have, the stores that we have, as they said in the Old Testament, it's all his. It's not mine anyway. We're called to be good stewards of what we have been given. And so even though, you know, I heard a pastor say about Exodus chapter 35, when Moses is challenging the people, and Moses is saying, all right, people, this is what you have to do, right? And in the Old Testament, we often think, in the area of giving, we often think of the word what? Tithe. We think of the word tithe, 10%. But in Exodus chapter 35, and let me just read this to you, and this pastor was saying, man, Moses could have just nailed it. Give, give, give. But this is what God chose Moses to say. He said, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commands, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. This is not the tithe. This is, he says, take from among you an offering to the Lord. And then here's the distinction. Whoever is of a willing heart. That's the distinction. It says, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, bronze. And he goes on to list all these other kinds of things. Now, I stress about money in the church. Just being honest about that. But you know what? I don't want you to give if you don't have a willing heart. Don't give. If your heart is willing, if your heart is touched by the salvation of our God, if your heart is thankful for what Jesus has done, then we all show that to him in the way that we give. But if you don't give and you can't give with a willing heart, don't give. Come before him. Just realize what God has done and respond to that. That's what Moses was asking of the people. Come with a willing heart. And that same principle is reflected in 2 Corinthians 9, where it says, it talks about the cheerful giver. Let a man give as he purposes in his heart to give unto the Lord. That's what we're called to do. So I'd like to go through a couple of passages here. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, I'd like to give you a little bit of the backstory. The church in Corinth was being asked and prompted to take an offering for the church in Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem, there were people in the church in Jerusalem who were hurting. They had needs. They had practical, physical needs. And they needed money to take care of those needs. And so Paul and Titus were part of this stirring up of the people. And they said, would you like to be part of this ministry? And so in the passage, it talks about how these people were part of the ministry. Now, what is interesting is that the people in the church in Corinth, the ones that Paul was speaking to were not rich people. They were common people. And it says that they gave out of their need. It wasn't like they were giving out of their abundance. They were giving out of need. Let's take a look at some of these words of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 8:1, it says, and this is Paul speaking, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." And can I just say that we are the church of God? This is speaking to us as well as to them. He's talking about the body of Christ. That's what we have the privilege to be, is we are the body of Christ. It says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Okay, so two things are noted here. One is these people in the church were in affliction. Okay? But in the midst of affliction, what did they have? They had joy. Now, how in the world can you have joy in the midst of affliction? It's only by reflecting on who Christ is and what he's done for you. And it doesn't really matter. Yes, you don't like affliction. Nobody likes affliction. But it says that these people, that they were in great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and in their deep poverty, it abounded in the riches of their liberality. They just said, you know what? God has given me something. I can share that. Verse 3, "For I bear witness that according to their ability," so they gave according to their ability. Then it says, "and beyond their ability." And haven't there been times where God has called upon you to do something, to give something, and it was beyond your ability? It was, okay, I can give this much. I've got my budget, and I give this much. And then God says, and maybe it's to somebody on the street, or maybe it's somebody who writes a letter to you and says, "We're going on a mission trip. Could you consider giving something?" Or something. These people gave according to their ability and beyond their ability. And they were, and this is the phrase back from Exodus chapter 35, and it says they were freely willing. They had a happy heart about it. They had a cheerful heart about giving. They were just giving back to God what God had given them. And then verse 4, "imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And so you have this ministry that happens between the people of God as some in the body of Christ are helping others in the body of Christ. The next slide, it says, "and not only as we had hoped, but they first," and this is really a priority for all of us. Before we can give anything to the Lord, what does the Lord want of us? You see it here in this passage. It says, first, they gave themselves to the Lord. I belong to you, Lord. Everything I have is yours. They gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave to us by the will of God. And then to us by the will of God. And so we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, and let me just say that Titus's job was to help carry this gift from Corinth to Jerusalem. And he was there not only to physically help get the gift to Jerusalem, but he was there to encourage the people because they'd made a commitment to give. That he encouraged the people to please follow through with what they had committed to give. And then Paul says to this people in verse 7, he says, "as you abound in everything." Okay? So just look at the things they abound in. And this is what the people of God do. It says, "as they abound in everything in faith." So God, we're trusting you. You'll never leave me or forsake me. Everything that I need, you will provide. They abounded in faith and in speech. trusting God for their words, trusting God with how their interactions would go, abounding in everything, knowledge and diligence and the love of the brethren. And then Paul says, see that you abound in this grace also. And he's talking specifically about the gift that was promised to be given. Let's just continue, jumping to chapter 9. And I just call these biblical principles of giving back to God. In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, it says this, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go ahead of you, to go to you ahead of the time, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. And can I just say, even for me, that last line, that we give out of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. It's that same principle there. Verse 6, but this I say, and this is the spiritual principle that I hope has not been tainted in your mind by inappropriate Bible teaching. But here is what God's word says. Paul says to the people at Corinth, think about it as you are being a good steward with the finances God has given you. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So I'm just going to say, by the way, you guys are visitors. Sorry, we don't do this often, but we're talking about giving because we need to right now. When we say these words, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, it's exactly what it says. If I give grudgingly to the Lord, the Lord's response to me may be grudging. I don't know if God ever acts with a grudge. But the principle is, I've given you everything. Live in such a way that you're generously living out your Christian faith. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now, I'll bet I would think that some of you have a testimony of God doing that kind of thing, that you have by the way, all of these things are completely unknown. We don't give in such a way that people would know. Our practice, just so you know, as a church, I'm sure you know this, but our practice as a church is that the pastors, elders, deacons, we don't have a clue what anybody gives in our church. I don't know if you give cash or checks or anything to the church. There's one person, a trusted person, who has a helper, and they are designated to take care of the finances to be sure they're all deposited correctly. So when it says that you give sparingly or you give bountifully, it's between you and God. And by the way, what God promises here through the Apostle Paul is there is blessing. When you're generous, it's opened up, the door is opened up for God to be generous to you. And then the last phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, my giving is just often out of routine. I don't know if I even think about being cheerful or not when I give. I have different, you know, you make payments to different things. Talking about paying your house off, giving gifts to the church. I just do it. But God has challenged me. I told Willie June this morning, I think we're at a point where we need to reevaluate and say, God, should this change? Are y'all doing okay? Talking about this? You know, God wants to bless you. And by the way, you don't just give to Pioneer Bible Church. We give all over the place. You have missionaries that you support. You have programs like Christian Encounter Ministries that you support. Maybe some of you send to James Dobson or other ministries that are happening around the world. You have favorite people you love who you've known through the years. Praise God. God's people can give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's a quote in 2 Corinthians out of Psalms. And in verse 10 it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Back up into the first verse, the slide before, Mike, when it says, God wants you to have abundance for every good work. Is it a blessing to be able to give to different things? Yeah, it is a blessing. And he wants you to be able to have abundance for every good work. It's a joy to help. You know, it's interesting, in the summertime or coming into the spring, we get all these letters from people. Kids going on summer mission projects, kids going to Camp Forward. And you're always thinking, you know, I want to help this kid or help this person. And what can I do? And you're praying about it and thinking about it. Lord, how can I help? And maybe you just send them $10 or maybe you send them more than that. But it's part of what God is doing and giving you an ability to have an abundance for every good work. And then the connection between verse 10 and 11 and so on, it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, and by the way, we're talking about God here. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality. Now, in a lot of ways, we don't like the word being liberal, but in the money way, by the way, it's nice when somebody acts liberal toward you with gifts, right? You like it when somebody hands you a nice gift, right? You want them to not just give you 50 cents in an envelope, you know, you're kind of hoping, well, I don't know. But God wants us to be able to, in fact, what's the guy's name, the money guy we all have, what? Dave Ramsey. What's his phrase about give so that you can give? Do you remember? Anybody remember? Give like nobody else so that you can live like nobody else. Yeah. The idea of being generous and being liberal. Let me just finish this passage. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through the thanksgivings to God. Here's what he's saying. Paul is saying, as this gift is given to the church at Jerusalem to help those people that are there, two things happen. Needs are being met, and God's name is being lifted up. We are glorifying God. One driver. Yeah, it was a huge. Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge food bank. Yeah. That's right. Oh, that's right. We wanted to ask if anybody else could help us be on the food bank drivers list. We need people with trucks to help us. You want to help us?
So because others gave, God gave, you
That's right. That's right. Yep. Praise God. And you know, we truly want this to happen, that as needs are met, people give glory to God. That's one of the goals that we have with our food bank, is that as people's needs are met, we have opportunity to share Christ with them, to love them, to just genuinely care for them. And it happens. And so that's an example of this very scripture. So it says, verse 13, well, through the proof of this ministry, and by the way, those are strong words, but by the proof of this ministry, by the actual happening of this giving taking place, look what it says, they glorify God. Praise God. For the obedience of your confession to the gospel and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. All right, can you skip the next slide? And because I'd like to try to wrap this up. But here, just out of these scriptures, okay, these are some principles that come out of these scriptures. First, we are to live without covetousness, free from the love of money. God wants us, you know, we are responsible to care for our families. The Bible says if a man does not care for his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. But the goal is not to love the money, it's to have the money as a resource to take care of your family. So live without covetousness. And boy, that could be something that we all might deal with. Being content and not being covetous. Two, live content with the things that you have. Speaks for itself. Number three, God has promised he will never leave you or forsake you in every way, including your needs. You know, God has promised. That phrase, God has promised, that he will never leave you or forsake you, it's in the context of your needs being met. It's great in every other context, too, that when you're alone or you're scared or you're afraid, that he will never leave you or forsake you. But in this area of your needs, he says, God has promised. So what that means is sometimes when we are dealing with covetousness, like the scripture says, or if we are dealing with not being content, maybe we just need to step back and reprioritize a little bit and say, Lord, do I need that? I think that we're constantly being asked to reevaluate how we steward the things that we have. Four, God has promised he is your helper. Don't look to man for a provision. So that was out of Hebrews 13:5. And then one last scripture that I'd like to read through quickly in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And I hope I don't offend anybody. Actually, it's God's word, so you just take it and digest it, okay? yeah. You're going to, just so we can have all your words.
Did you understand that? Pastors don't like to talk about money, and I can understand that. As deacons, that's our job to go through things and try and find out what's going on here. We budgeted based on the giving from the previous year. If you look at your bulletin down in the second page, bottom corner, there's some figures. There's about a $7,000 shortage
every month.
It has been happening monthly. We have to make some decisions, and as deacons, you know, we're going to have to make hard decisions if it comes down to that. This is what we're going through right now. That's the hard facts of it. I'm a little more blunt about this than Jim can be. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that. Yep. Jim Owens, Clay Fitzpatrick, myself, and Roland Haas made those decisions on the budget. We hope they would be right, and we hope that faith giving would be there. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. By the way, I really lean on these gentlemen, and I'm very grateful. So many things. Yeah. Yes, Chuck. Wow. You can't outgive God. Anybody here echo that? You can't outgive God? Yep, look at there. Yeah, can't outgive God. Well, let's end with this scripture. In 1 Timothy 6, it says, command those who are rich, and this is what I was going to say, is that everybody in this room is rich. We live in America. We don't live in Guatemala. We don't live in wherever people don't have an annual income of pennies or dollars a day. So this applies to all of us, even though we're at very different places. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Don't we enjoy good things? Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, which is in heaven, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And I just wrote, God sees these steps of faith as an evidence of your trust, your faith, and your relationship. Now, breaking this down, Mike, if you could go to the next page, this is what it basically says. Concerning the rich in this age, don't live haughty. That's the first thing. Do not set your hope on uncertain riches, which are the world's riches. That's not where your hope is. Your hope is in Christ. If everything was taken away right now, you have an absolute sure thing in your relationship in Christ. Set your hope on God. Trust Him, not riches. God provides us with everything to enjoy. James tells us every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning, no variableness at all. God provides us with everything to enjoy. We are to do good with our resources. We are to be rich in good works. We are to be generous to Christ, others, and the poor. We are to be ready to share with Christ, others, and the poor. In this, you will be storing up eternal treasure. You will be establishing for yourself a good, a godly foundation. And in this way, you will take hold of that which is what? Truly life. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that you are a faithful God. God, I thank you that you provide everything we have. Lord, it's so easy to get those thoughts mixed up and to think that who we are and what we have somehow come up with that. Lord, you have made us. You've given us the personality that we have, the gifts that we have, the intelligence that we have, the location that we have, the position in careers that we have. You've even put us in need. And Lord, we often look at that little widow who came to the temple and you were watching, and it said she was prompted that God told her to give everything. She gave more than JCPenney did. She gave everything, knowing that you never leave or forsake your own. Father, I pray that you would just bless your people. Lord, I pray that we would not give with a grudging heart And I know, God, you will provide. And Lord, it's at times if we're grudging, Lord, we're probably not going to give. But Lord, I pray that you will put such a heart of gratefulness and gratitude in us that we will be able to give, as Paul says, with a cheerful heart. Father, I thank you. I thank you for every gift that has been given to Pioneer Bible Church through the years. I thank you for sacrificial giving that people have done through the years. But it's time now, Lord, it seems like, maybe for some of us, to reevaluate. Lord, thank you that we can trust you. Help us to take whatever step of faith you're calling us to take. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand together.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the oceans wide with foam, God. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, why with home, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Before we go, I just want to offer that if you would like to be prayed for, if you have something that you're going through, you have some needs, I'll be here, maybe some others will be up front, and we would love to pray with you. So we are rich to be in this country. Thank you, God. To those of you that served, we're grateful. May this be a sweet Memorial Day weekend for you in remembering. Let's be a thankful people. Let's do it.
Here.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you. No. Listen.